Amen. Praise God. Well, it is good to be with you this morning. We always have the opportunity to speak to you just because of the way Pastor Mark's schedule works out. We're always honored to be able to do the first message of the year, and so I believe we got something for you. Amen. How many of you are relaxed, recuperated, refreshed, rested, ready to go for the new year? Pray you are. You know, I was thinking about anybody watching the Beverly Hillbillies over the holidays? Nobody? This is real random. You'll see where I'm going with this. But I was thinking about that. Yeah, you know, the tune from that old song, it says, "Let me tell you a story about a man named Jed, poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting for some food, and up from the ground come a bubbling crude oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea." You remember that? Come on now. Some of you are older than you're letting on. I remember that, okay? But at the end of that, it says this. It says, "You're all invited back again to this locality to have a heaping helping of their hospitality. Hillbilly, that is. Sit a spell. Take your shoes off. Y'all come back now." You hear? And I was thinking about that part. Y'all sit a spell. My dad has on his porch, whenever you go to back home, my dad is most of the time, he's on his porch. And enjoys sitting out there, and you know, he's retired. My mom and him are retired, and so he enjoys sitting out there. But he has this sign on his porch, and it says, "The porch, sit and relax." Well, he was telling me a while back, the UPS man, he walked out. He had heard somebody out on the porch, and he walked out on the porch, and the UPS man was sitting on the swing. And he said, "Can I help you?" He said, "I'm just doing what your sign says." Well, how many of you know it's important to relax? It's important to rest. It's important to wind down a little bit every once in a while. So hopefully you were able to do that. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't allow ourselves enough rest sometimes. We keep going and going until there's nothing left for us to give out. But, you know, sometimes we got to take care of ourselves. If we're going to be a blessing to the kingdom of God, you got to keep these things in mind. We push until we burn out physically, spiritually, and that's not good. Our bodies and our minds need rest. They need recuperation. And the reality is that it affects our relationship with the Lord. Because you see, proper rest and proper refreshment, and it strengthens our body, it re-energizes our mind so that we can think clearly. But not only that, think about this. When we clear our minds from the daily pressures and stresses of life, the Lord can speak to us in order to refresh, renew, and strengthen our spirit. So it's important to do. You know, even the military, how many military guys we got here, former military? You know, even the military, whenever you're on deployment, they let you earn R&R days. And this is from the Army website. I thought it was interesting just in thinking about these thoughts. It says it's important from a readiness perspective to provide service members a respite from the stresses associated with the combat mission during their tour. The goal is to assist in re-energizing and mentally preparing service members for the remainder of their tour. The military views the program as a small investment. Now think about this. Think about what we're talking about. The military views this as a small investment to help improve overall mission performance and the well-being of our forces. Well, you know, throughout the scripture, the Bible talks about how we're the army of the Lord. And, you know, in regards to what we're talking about, it's important to make sure that you're taking care of yourself, that you're mentally allowing yourself to refresh, recruit, spiritually build yourself up in the Word, praying in the Holy Ghost, reading the Word of God, so that you are beneficial to the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God needs you. Amen. We don't need you so stressed out that you don't know which direction to go, that you're not ready to come to church and to put the time in, because there's a lost and dying world that needs you. You ever heard the idiom that you can't burn the candle at both ends and remain effective for the kingdom of God? Huh? You can't burn the candle at both ends. Well, what does that mean? You know, it refers to the beginning and the end of the day. You know, if you're burning the candle when you get going in the morning, and then you're burning the candle when you shut down at night, then you're keeping it going for too long. And you understand, I'm not talking about working hard. You know, I'm always thankful for those that are hard workers. The Bible talks about, it's a whole other subject, talks about diligence and working hard. And, You know, we've all been at that time in our life where we had to work a couple jobs to take care of the family. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is day in and day out. You know, you're taking on so much that you're exhausting your energies by leading a hectic life. You know, especially if you've got kids, you've got so much going on with your kids that your neighbor is able to shut down a little bit. You work hard, you don't rest, you spend all your energies on multiple pursuits. Sure, we're told to work. Again, that's a whole other subject. We're told to work with diligence, but the Word never instructs us to be workaholics. How many of you realize that? Never instructs us to be workaholics. Working too hard without rest far too often results in stress and health problems. More importantly, it hinders our relationship with the Lord. Ask me how I know. Come on now. You know, a number of years ago, I ended up in the hospital because I had taken on too much. You know, we got a lot of activities going on around here. If you've been around for any period of time, you know, there's a lot that we got going on. And I had taken on the weight of a lot of it and ended up in the emergency room. And basically, the doctor looked at me and said, "You got too much going on. You know, you're stressed out." I remember when Matthew Farmer and I were around, we had, way back when, this has been a number of years ago, we were given two 47-passenger big yellow buses. Well, you know, nobody around here could drive a CDL except for, or had a CDL to drive these buses except for Tony Jenkins. And so Matthew Farmer and I both started studying for this test to go get our CDLs to drive these big buses. And so we put the time in, and we had some, you know, Tony help us learn some things. And because, you know, how many of you have a CDL? Anybody in here have a CDL? So if you've got a CDL, you know that whatever it is that you're driving, you have to know about that automobile from front to back. You have to know about the engine. You have to know, if they point to it, you have to be able to tell them what it is, what could go wrong with it. You know, you have to know what you're talking about. Well, I'm not a mechanic. Never have pretended to be a mechanic. You know, for the most part, since Sheila and I have been married, I've had ourselves in newer cars, and if ever anything ever went wrong, I either went to David or to Tony and asked for some advice, and then I took it to an auto body shop. I'm not the guy. Don't call on me to help you with your car. I'll go kick it a little bit, kick the tires, you know, maybe open the hood and go, "Yep, it's got a motor." And so this was a big deal for me. You know, Matthew knew a little bit more than I did, you know, a lot more than I did, but we did this together. We learned about these buses and we took the time, and well, we went to take this test, and Matthew took the test, and you know, he took it, and then I took it right behind him. We had to go to Bonnie Oaks over here in Chattanooga and take this test. And so Matthew took this test and he passed it. And so you know, you had the written test, you had the driving test, then you had the walk around. I forget what they call that, the inspection, but you had the walk around. And so we took the written test, passed that, took the driving test, passed that. But when it come time for the walk around, you know, the lady stopped me after about 5 minutes, and she said, "Can I ask you a question?" She said, "Do you know what you're talking about?" And I said, "Well, I would think I did." And she said, "Sit down for a minute." We were inside the bus. She said, "I'm sorry if I'm overstepping here," but she said, "You're so stressed out that I can tell that you don't have a clue what you're talking about, and I know that you know it." She said, "Here's what I'm going to do." She said, "I'm going to give you a couple weeks, and then I want you to come back and see me." She said, "You don't have to take the written part again or the driving part again," but she said, "You're stressed out." Well, that kind of opened my eyes a little bit, because if you would have asked me before that, I would have said, "No, I'm fine." But I had so much going on at that time that I couldn't even think straight. She'd ask me something about what it was, and my mind just went, you ever been there? My mind just went blank. Well, again, it's important to be able to avoid that stress. One man said this: "It's our best work that God wants, not the dregs of our exhaustion." I think that he must prefer quality to quantity. You know, actually, the Bible talks about this. Look over at Hebrews chapter 4. This is kind of a different message, but I believe it'll help you, because I believe this is for somebody. Hebrews chapter 4. Starting with verse number 1, says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached," keep listening now, But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, as God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. How many times have we heard the word rest? For he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall of the same example of unbelief. Now notice verse number 3, for we which have believed, somebody say that's me. For we which have believed do enter into rest, in verse 9, for there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. That word rest is interesting. It's a Greek word, sabbatismos, which is where we get the word Sabbath, for Sabbath day. So it could be said this way, for there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Well, you remember in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 31, at the end of the 6 days of creation, it says, and God saw everything that he made. Behold, it was, wasn't just good, it was very good. Well, if something's very good, that means it's perfect, it's complete, it's finished, it's flawless. In other words, nothing else could be added to it. It required nothing more. Required nothing more. When I was growing up, I was an artist, and especially in high school, I took art classes. And as I developed and grew, especially my sophomore through my senior year, when I went to art class in the afternoons, my job or what my responsibility was I was working on big pieces. You know, the rest of the art class was working on little sketches and learning some things, and the art teacher was teaching them things. I was at a point where I was working on big pieces. Well, if you're an artist or if you've ever worked on a project, you know, when you're done with a project, you kind of take a step back, you look it over, you take some time, and then you decide, is it complete or is it not? Is there any other finishing touches we want to say? It doesn't matter what you do, you know, whether you're a carpenter, whether you're a painter, you know, you take a look at it and you say, is there anything else that I need to do to this? Well, as an artist, what I would do is whenever it was complete, I'd take a step back, look at it, and then I'd sign my name to it. Well, when you sign your name to it, you're saying, it's done, it's complete, it's finished. And so here, whenever Jesus, or whenever the Bible talks about the Lord creating the world, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Notice it in verse 2. Look back over there, Genesis. Genesis 2. Verse number 2, it says, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Notice that. And then it says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in he had rested from all his works which God had made. So God ended his work and he rested. It's the same word, sabbatismos. The same word, rest. And it says that he rested on the seventh day. Now understand, God didn't rest because he was tired. Did you get that? God didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because it was very good, because it was complete, because there was nothing else that he could add to it. Stay with me now. So the Sabbath day was a day for him, as an example to us. The Sabbath day was a day of unbroken rest. It was a type of cessation from work. Later on in Exodus 35, verse 2, remember, we're talking about the Sabbath, the rest. You know, the Sabbath was a holy day to the Lord. In fact, the Bible tells us it's the fourth of the Ten Commandments. And so in Exodus 35, 2, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be unto you a holy day, a Sabbath day of rest to the Lord. Now watch this. Whoever does work, what does it say? Shall be put to death. Aren't you so glad we're not under the law anymore? I mean, you go home and take that rest this afternoon, by God, or... No, we don't fall under the law. We used it, this as an example to us, of course. The Sabbath is important, but we're not under the Old Testament law of the Sabbath. But there is a Sabbath principle that is universal, and it needs to be observed. You need to take care of yourself. Amen. We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about, you know, in the Bible, if you read through the Old Testament, it talks about those that, again, it talks about those that didn't observe the Sabbath. And, you know, if they lifted anything, if they tended to their flock, if they did anything, then it says that they were to take them outside and they were to stone them. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the principle, which is you need to take care of yourself. You need to take care of yourself. Getting back to Hebrews chapter 4. Notice in verse number 10, for he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. One man said, working too long without a break is a form of pride. You ever been around somebody like that? You know, you say, hey, let's, you know, we've had different people around the church different times and throughout the years. I've worked with other individuals. You know, you got to be careful about, you know, working yourself to a point of exhaustion, because that's a form of pride. Huh? But then there's another man, another pastor, a Rhema pastor that I know in Plano, Texas, said, God's pace always leads to God's peace. Well, I tell you, you always ought to find where God's peace is. You have peace in a situation? Come on now. See, rest is a part of God's plan for our life. Notice it says, he ceased from his own works. That word ceased is a Greek word that has its meaning in to pause, to hit the pause button. You know, we watched a lot of movies and programs, Christmas movies, stuff like that over the holidays. And, you know, we're not the type that when you sit down, and maybe this, my son is not this way. If you sit down and watch a movie with my son, he wants to sit and watch this movie uninterrupted. And if you get up to use the bathroom, he has a fit. But the way I look at it is you got a remote that has a pause button. So I can pause the button. I can go make coffee or something to drink or popcorn. I can go to the bathroom. Then I can come back and I can unpause it and we can go on. And it's okay. Everybody say it's okay. It's okay. So next time you see Matthew, you just look at him and you say, it's okay to hit the pause button. Well, sometimes it's important. He has also ceased from his works as God did from his. Sometimes it's important to hit the pause button. Sometimes it's okay to sit in that lounge chair and just kick back for a minute. Huh? Notice verse 11, Hebrews 4:11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall. Now watch real closely. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The Passion Translation reads, so then we must be eager to experience, I like the way it says, the faith rests life so that no one falls short by following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief. You could say it this way, a failure to rest is equal to doubt and unbelief. I think you're taking this a little too far. I'm just reading the Word to you. I'm just telling you what the Word says. Because it's become work to shut down the distractions of the day. You know, call it a New Year's resolution, whatever. You know, I know that there's some of you that have made the resolution that you're going to stay off Facebook as much. You're going to try to get off social media a little bit more. Why? Because it's a distraction. Yeah, it's a benefit. I look at it, you know, as much as you do. We use it, of course. We're broadcasting on Facebook Live, so people have to be on social media to be able to watch the broadcast if they want to. But I tell you, if you wake up, first thing you do in the morning is grab that phone next to the nightstand and open it up to Facebook or whatever it is. You know, I'm older, so we're Facebook people. I don't know what you younger people are. What, I don't know, Twitter? You're looking at something. And then you get the first break of the day and you're looking at it. And then you get another break, and you're looking at it, and you go to bed, and you're looking at it. Well, again, I'm not going to get on to you because I'm guilty of the same. I'm preaching this message to me too, you know. But what are we doing? We're working to shut down the distractions of the day, but if you can't shut out the distractions, then you run into a precarious position. You know what Paul is saying here? He said, if you cannot rest, you're in unbelief. If you won't rest, then you're in rebellion. Come on now. True peace and rest is available for those who will receive it. And the key to unlock them both is faith. What did God do whenever he rested? He looked, he said, he saw everything that he had made and it was good. And on the seventh day, what did he do? He said, you know what? It's complete. I can't add anything to it. So he rested. From a faith perspective, whatever it is that you're believing God for, you have to get to a point where you're able to rest in the promise of God and say, I believe that it is complete. I believe that there is nothing else, so you can get caught up in works. I believe that there is nothing else that I can do to make this thing happen, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to rest in the promises of God. That's truly what Paul is talking about here, as he's saying, you need to find a place of completion in whatever it is that you're believing God for to where you get to a point where you say, I believe that it is finished. I believe that I have the promise that I'm believing God for. Amen. Well, in order to understand what Paul is talking about here in Hebrews chapter 4, it's important to understand the scripture in context. You know, let's do this. Flip back to Exodus 3. Over at Exodus 3. You remember, we don't have time to go back and look at this, but Israel failed to enter into the promised land, a land where the Bible tells us that all the promises of God come true in your life. And so he makes reference to this in Hebrews 4. Understand this. In Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, that the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh, put off the shoes from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God your father, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters, and I know their sorrow. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now therefore behold, and cry to the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a token unto you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your father has sent me to you, and they will say to me, what is his name, and what shall I say unto them? So continuously Moses says, in essence, he's saying, who am I? Who am I to stand before them? Now, next chapter, chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto you. And he said, what's into your hand? And he said, a rod. He said, cast it to the ground. He cast it in the ground, it became a serpent. So he goes through and does these different things. Verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent of speech. See, he's making all these excuses as to why he can't obey the Lord and why he can't do what God told him to do. Verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since the days has spoken unto your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who has made your mouth, and makes the dumb and the deaf and the seeing and the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. And he said unto O my Lord, send, I pray you, by the hand of him that will send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, I is not Aaron the Levite your brother. So in essence, he gets to a point where he says, okay, you say you can't do this. You say you can't speak. Is not Aaron here? He says, Aaron will speak for you. So he's giving him every tool that he needs to do what it is that God has called him to do. Now, skip on down. You know the story, but skip down here through to Exodus 33, because I want you to see something. Exodus 33, starting with verse number 11. See, they're on their way. We don't want to go back in the story, but you understand they're on their way. So Exodus 33, verse 11, it says, And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face. Now listen, this follows immediately after. Remember Moses, the Bible says Moses was going to go to the mountain, left the people. The people got anxious because Moses wasn't there. So they started talking to Aaron, and they gathered up all their gold and made the golden calf. You remember that? So this is the next chapter. So in chapter 33, verse number 11, it says, And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. How many of you know up to this point, Moses and the children of Israel had faced challenges? But was the promise still the same? So here's God speaking to Moses, and it says the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. He hadn't given up on Moses, has he? His promise hadn't changed, had it? And he turned again to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me to know where you will send me. Yet thou hast said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray you, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now the way that I may know you, and I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Well, up until this point, Moses hadn't experienced rest. I mean, he's going through the wilderness with a rebellious bunch of people. With the promise that the Lord has delivered you, he's going to take us into a land of promise. But notice, he hadn't given up on him. He said, My presence. See, this is my message to you this morning. That I believe what the Lord showed me for us. Our message this morning for us, for this year, is my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Come on now. What do you think about that? Understand something. Moses was never able to experience the fulfillment of what the word of God to him and the children of Israel was. He was in the permissible will of God. There were activities from all the way back from Exodus 3 all the way to chapter 33. There were things that we read about him leading the children of Israel, things that they experienced that obviously he was in God's permissive will because he wasn't experiencing God's best. What does it say? For 40 years they wandered around? Let's move on a little bit here. Let's not give up on Moses. Is your name written in Hebrews chapter 11? Huh? You do realize that, right? Moses' name is it, what do we call that? The great faith chapter, the faith giants we see in Hebrews chapter 11. Do you know, I think it's 4 or 5 verses where it talks about Moses? Come on now. Don't give up on Moses. Look over at Joshua chapter 1. I believe the Lord's telling us something here this morning. Joshua chapter 1, stay with me now. Joshua chapter 1. Of course, you know the very beginning of this. It says, Verse number 1, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead, therefore arise.'" Now watch this. Look at verse 13. It says, "Remember the word which Moses, your servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, 'The Lord your God has given you this rest and has given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed and the mighty men of valor and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest.'" Notice, until the Lord has given your brethren rest. There has to come a time in the midst of your challenge when you find yourself at rest in the promises of God. You can't continue to fight. You can't continue to try to make things happen on your own. You have to rest in the promises of God. "As he has given you, they also which possess the land which the Lord your God has given them, then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sun rising." And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that you command us, we will do, and whithersoever you send us, we will go." Amen. One more chapter. Look over at Joshua 21, verse 43. It says, "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it, and they dwelt therein, and the Lord gave unto them rest round about according to all that he swore unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all the enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed," oh, I love this scripture, "there failed not anything of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. It all came to pass." This morning, there has not failed you one word of God. It all came to pass. Did you notice that God's promise never changed? The promise that he gave Moses all those many years ago didn't change whenever he died and the baton, so to speak, was passed to Joshua. The promise didn't change. It was still the same promise, and that is, take my people and enter into the land of promise. It never changed. God didn't change his word just because Moses failed to enter Canaan. Huh? Smith Wigglesworth says this. He said, "There is a good, there is a better, but God has a best. He has a higher standard for us than we have yet attained." You ever been to the store or been buying something and it says there's a good, there's a better, and there's a best? If you go over to Harbor Freight over here, you know, a lot of the tools they've got. Dennis and I talked about this. There's a good, there's a better, and there's a best. Well, you know, if you need a tool that you're going to use for 5 minutes to do what you need to do, then, you know, you can get by with the good. But my brother-in-law and I, Doug and I were talking about this whenever they opened up over here, and he was kind of laughing about it. He said, "You know, there's a difference between the good, the better, the best." He said, "If your life depends on it, you don't want the good, you want the best." Right? If it's a tool you're going to use continuously, go ahead and buy the best. Well, in regards to the Lord, there is a good, there's a better, and there's a best. There is a permissible will of God. There's things that you can get by with, and it's the permissible will of God, just like Moses, but there's also the best. What is it that he's told you? What is the best? The best is that you're wealthy, healthy, and wise. That's his best. The best is that you go through this life having your every need met. That's his best. Praise God. Amen. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord and I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Anything that God gives is forever. You might say, "Well, I can look back on this last year and I know that there was something that God told me to do and I didn't obey, and here I am and I let the whole year go by." That's okay. Pick it back up. Pick it back up. "Well, I made a New Year's resolution and I didn't keep it." So what? It's January 2nd, 2022. Just start over. Man, I missed it in my walk with the Lord. I told the Lord I was going to do this and I was going to do that, and I didn't do it after the 5th of July or January. I just gave up. Well, that's all right. It's a new year. Just go ahead and pick it back up. Because the promises of God are forever. He does not change His mind. He doesn't look down on you. Psalm 33:11 says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations." Jesus Himself said in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away." Glory to God. Think about that. Look over at Matthew chapter 11. Staying with the same thought here. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Did you know that word yoke that's used here, that Jesus uses, that word yoke there literally means it's His teachings. It's not the same word that we see yoke used other places. This word yoke, in essence, what He's saying is, take My teachings upon you, learn of Me, for I am meek of lowly at heart, and you'll find rest. In other words, He's saying, if you take the word, and you apply it in your life, then you're going to find rest. How many of you know if you find trust in the Word and you place your faith in the Word, you'll find a place, again, where you're not toiling, you're not trying to make something happen, you just rest in the promise. That's what He's talking about. He said you'll find rest for your souls. Look over at John chapter 14. A couple more scriptures and we'll be done. John chapter 14. Verse number 27, familiar passage of Scripture. Again, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." You know, people find peace in a lot of things, or they try to find peace in a lot of things. They try to find peace in where they're going to live, or what you're going to have, or what you're going to do. You know, they try to find contentment in things. But Jesus said, "I give unto you peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Look over two chapters, John chapter 16, verse number 33. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation," another word for pressure. "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." One more scripture, Mark chapter 6. Again, talking about the same thing. Mark chapter 6. Are you with me? Mark chapter 6, verse 31. The disciples are, of course, with Jesus. And He says unto them, "Come, set yourselves apart to a desert place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, so that they had no so much as leisure to eat. They departed unto a desert place by a ship privately." Notice the Bible says that the disciples were so busy. They weren't just walking around like you see the movies, walking around with Jesus and walking around and him touching somebody. They're walking around. The Bible says His disciples were so busy they didn't even have time to eat. He said the people were thronging them and the people were coming and going and there was such a crowd, it says they didn't even have time to eat. You ever had a day like that? That you get up and you I always got to make sure that I take time in the morning before I get doing anything. You know, I make it a point, we've told you before, but I make it a point that when I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is get a cup of coffee or juice or something, and I go straight up to my office at home, and I spend time reading and praying, because if I don't do it then, the minute that I walk through these doors, I'm busy. The minute that I walk through these doors, I'm busy. I'm about the Lord's business. I'm about the business of the church or the school. And next thing you know, you're so busy that you haven't shut down. Now listen, We eat around here at 11 o'clock on the dot every single day. So we don't get so busy that we don't eat. But how many of you know it is possible? It is possible to get so busy that you realize by the time the end of the day has come that you haven't taken time for yourself, you haven't taken time for the Lord, you haven't taken time for your family. Come on now. So he says, come and set yourselves apart in a desert place and rest for a while. Jesus told his disciples, boys, you need to rest. And it says they departed into a desert place by ship privately. It was okay for them to go home. It was okay for them to shut down. It was okay for them to take some time apart. It's okay to shut down for a while. Place your trust and care on him. So here they are, busy about the Lord's business, but they couldn't even find time to eat. Psalm 127, 2 says, it is vain for you to rise up early and sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. One translation says, I lay down, slept soundly when I awoke to find that the Lord had taken good care of me. Oh, glory to God. Everybody stand to your feet. I lay down and slept soundly, then I awoke to find that the Lord had taken good care of me. You remember when David was fleeing from Absalom, his son? Psalm 3:5 says that David said this. He said, I laid me down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Praise God. You woke up this morning. You're here this morning. The Lord has kept you this morning. One man said this, talking about this particular scripture. Some of you might remember Dick Mills. In a commentary that he wrote, he said, here is the psalmist rejoicing in the gift of sleep. His conscience was not bothering him. He had nothing on his mind that would rob him of a peaceful slumber. The sleep he speaks of is God's gift of recreation and recuperation to his children to allow their bodies the opportunity to rebuild and restore themselves after a normal day's work. The key word in this verse for all of us is sustained. It's a translation of the Hebrew word psalmak, which refers to the act of supporting, upholding, and undergirding. You need to be able, just like David, to lay down at night and say, I lay me down and slept, I awoke, and the Lord sustained me. The Lord has so much for us to do in this life, but you can't do it all today. So quit trying. Amen. Faith rests. You must find a place in your faith walk with the Lord to where you're able to rest and you're able to say, Lord, it's in your care. This morning, wherever you're at in the sound of my voice, just take a moment and say, Lord, I trust you. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, maybe you're in the midst of a battle. Maybe you've been given a negative report. Maybe you've got family troubles. Rest in the promise of God, and I assure you, He will sustain you. He will keep you. He will undergird you. He'll make sure that you make it through. Faith rests. Faith says, Father, you've got this. There's nothing else that I can do. My whole trust, my complete trust is in you. You've got this. Oh, somebody say, you've got this. You've got this. So there's no reason for you to toil. There's no reason for you to overwork yourself. Oh, glory to God. Faith rests. Faith rests. Faith rests. So you find a scripture that applies to your life. You find a scripture that applies to your circumstance. And you lay hold of that scripture. You lay hold of that promise. And you declare it over yourself, over your family, over your job, whatever it is. You declare it, and then you say, and it is done. Maybe you're believing for a family member to come back home. You say, it's done. Maybe you've been given a negative health report. You just declare, it's done. There's nothing else that I could do except rest in the promise of God. Can you do that this morning? Oh, you'll find peace. You'll find great peace. Your mind is alert. Your heart is receptive because God's word is true. It's never failed us. There has not failed one word of God. It all came to pass. Oh, thank God. Lift your hands, worship Him. Father, we thank You. We thank You. There, in my life, in our life, corporately, Cleveland Christian Fellowship, there has not failed one word of God. It all has come to pass. You have sustained us for all these years, since 1983 when Pastor Mark and Miss Margaret founded this church. For all these years, You've kept us. And You will yet keep us. And as we always proclaim, because Your word is true and it's alive and it works, that our best days, the best days of Cleveland Christian Fellowship, are upon us. They're right before us. So we rejoice and we find rest in the promise of God. We find peace in knowing that You are our sustainer. So we rest in You. Oh, we take a seat and we breathe and we say, Father, we trust You. We trust You, Lord. Oh, You're so good to Your people. So good to us. Maybe you're in the sound of my voice this morning, whether you're watching online or listening here. Say, I don't know what it's like to trust the Lord. I don't have a relationship with the Lord like I should. This morning, in a moment, before we leave this place, you can know Him like you've never known Him before. All it takes is for you to say, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and He longs to be that in your life. If there's anybody in the sound of my voice, that's you. Just lift your hand up where you are. Nobody's watching. Nobody's looking around. Nobody cares. All they care about is knowing that you get your heart right with the Lord. If that's you, slip your hand up for me so I can pray for you. No better decision than you can make this morning than to make Jesus Lord of your life. Anybody at all? Well, glory to God. Everybody look up at me. Smile real big. Say, I'm going to go rest this afternoon. And it'll be okay. Find you the nearest couch, lounge chair, pillow. Glory to God. Because the Lord told you to. You go rest, and if your wife says something to you, you just say, the Lord told me to. That's God's promise. Be at rest. There's so many facets, so many things. We didn't even touch the surface of what we could talk about. But you know, it's so important to find a place of rest and peace. Amen. Place your trust in Him and Him only. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. We love you. Pastor Mark and Miss Margaret will be back with us on Wednesday. Pray for them as they safely travel back. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We pray for you, and we believe the best is yet to come. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Praise God.